is better than sacrifice.
Right.
And we had been laid off at our work about 6 weeks ago. It was November the 15th. And before that, we were still praying, before we'd been laid off, we was praying, Lord, what's your will? Do you want us to travel for a little bit, come back home? You know, Lord, what do you want us to do? Then got laid off, and then God began to deal with our hearts. And then God finally called us a week and a half ago. We felt the call to go, so we're going. We were supposed to leave yesterday morning, Tuesday morning. Monday afternoon, I got a phone call from an office that I had worked at previously in November. And offered me a job that would pay $40 an hour. And I just told him on the phone, I said, I've already promised to do something else. I can't take that. And so I let it go, knowing what God had told us the week before. I don't say that boastfully to pat me on the back, but I want to let you know, when you know God spoke to you about something,
right,
it makes it easier to say no, even things are real tempting.
Right. Absolutely.
So I want to encourage you as a church, when this pastor preaches this word, it's God speaking. And when he says it, and when God says it, you obey and say, Lord, the otherwise won't give me my happiness. The otherwise out of this word. So I don't know why I want to say that. I want to encourage somebody here tonight. Obedience to God and His word is better than anything else out there. Anything.
Amen.
Anything. Amen. Acts chapter 1. We're going to read, starting at verse 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion and by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, then they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times, nor the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Lord, I come before you this evening knowing that I am nothing without you. Lord God, I ask that you please let this word minister to the hearts of those that are here. Not only do I ask for anointing to preach the word, but God, I ask for the church to have anointing to hear what the word has to say to your people. And not after we hear it, Lord, let us be doers of the word, not just hearers. Lord, but to respond and say, Lord, it's us. It's me. It's this church that the preacher's talking to. It's me as an individual. Lord, help us to yield to you and whatever you have for us to hear and to say, Lord. That's what we will do, Lord. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I want to have something a little bit different towards the end of my message. I've got Brother George here that's going to be reading some verses at the end of the message. So it'll be a little different, but bear with us, and the Lord will move and work in our lives. Brother Stevon, I don't know if you're going to do it or not, but give me a drink. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. It's really going to help out. Amen. One thing I have noticed in the churches of today, majority, I'm not including every church,
because it's not, but around the church world of today, one of the greatest things that is lacking in the church of today is a moving of the Holy Ghost.
Right. Amen. Right. Come on.
It is lacking in our churches today. It is lacking from, it is the main ingredients for the growth of the church. It is the main ingredient for the growth of a Christian, and it is the main ingredient to keep us living the life of a Christian. Well, you say, "Well, David, you're diminishing salvation." No, I'm not diminishing salvation. Salvation is the most important step that a Christian can take, or any sinner or any person in this world could ever experience. But I'm here to let you know that in the day and time that we're living in, it is hard for a Christian to stay saved without the Holy Ghost being prevalent in their life. You can argue to your root of it. I'm not going to say that if you have never received the Holy Ghost, you're never going to experience heaven. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to get on that oneness doctrine. But what I will say is this, that if you want to live a victorious Christian life in your life every day, you must have the Holy Ghost. You're going to have a stronger ability to say no to sin. You need the Holy Ghost. You want an ability to be able to live a victorious life and not always failing week in and week out, failing to sin and coming in Sunday and praying to salvation all over again, asking for for forgiveness or asking for patience from God over and over. But I'm here to let you know that we can live day by day victorious. Every day we come to before God with a clean slate, saying, "God, today I pleased you. Today I know I made you happy because I lived for you."
Right? Yes.
How do we do that? One of the greatest resources we ever had in our life as a Christian, the greatest resource as a Christian, is the Holy Ghost.
Right. Come on.
Amen. The greatest thing for a sinner is salvation. But for the Christian, the greatest thing ever that was ever given to him was the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Holy Ghost. Amen. It is something that the church is lacking as a whole. I'm not saying this church. I'm not saying my church. I'm not saying churches we're going to be. I'm just saying as a whole, it is a void that is definitely prevalent in our churches of today. Amen. There's two things I want to clarify before I get into my message concerning the Holy Ghost. Is the Holy Ghost is a gift. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, it makes this statement. It says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost."
Right.
It is a gift.
Uh-huh.
Now, in order for us, everyone here, in order for us to receive a gift, something's got to take place. I know every year on August 21st, I know my wife's going to give me a birthday gift.
All right.
Why? Because my birthday. Every year, and I remind her of it too. I give her plenty of heads up. It's coming. She knows. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. She knows my birthday's coming up, and I do my best to make sure she don't forget it, so I know it's coming. But the only reason why I receive a gift on that day is because I have a birthday.
Right?
Right.
Right.
That birthday gives me the privilege of having a free gift given to me just because I was born. Just because I was born, I have a privilege of receiving a gift because I was born. That's the only reason. Even if I hadn't done anything special that whole week. Even if I didn't even do anything out of the ordinary, just because it's my birthday, I'm entitled to a gift. Amen. Jesus said, He said, first, repent and be baptized, everyone, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
What does it talk about in the Bible when it talks about being saved? Jesus looked at Nicodemus and said, unless you be born again, ye shall not see the kingdom. You shall not go into heaven. I mean, he said there must be born again. What is it? What is Jesus talking about? He says when you come down to an altar and ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, say, Lord, I repent. I don't want nothing to do with my own lifestyle. Please forgive me. Wash me. There becomes a birthday in your soul that day.
Right.
You automatically, when you repent of your sins and God, Christ washes you clean, you have a birthday. Do you know when you were saved, brother? Do you have to know the date? I'm the same way. I was a young kid. I don't know the date I was born, but there are several people in our church. Anybody here knows the date when you were saved? You know, go ahead, brother.
July 15th, 1997.
We have a pastor that's probably mid 70s, maybe in his 80s. Brother Scott, is he in his early 80s? Yes, he's in the early 80s. He stood up and testified a few weeks ago or a couple months ago, and he said, I'm celebrating my 60-something birthday. Huh? And he said, and then he went on to say that was the day that I was born again with Christ.
Right.
It was a birthday. As a salvation. But Jesus said, so when I, I'm just trying to paint a picture. I'm just trying to paint a picture of us, of how simplistic it is in as a Christian's life, of what it takes for us to be able to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Jesus says, you shall receive a gift of the Holy Ghost. And as we, when it becomes my, every year on my birthday, the only reason why I am able to receive a gift is every year is the only reason why is because I have a birthday. When you became saved inside of your heart and soul, and Christ washed you and washed you cleansed, and you are living for Him to the best of your ability, you have a right to receive a gift of the Holy Ghost. Say, some say, well, I have to be called the preacher, or I have to be, I have got to do this, or I have to do 12 steps to receive the Holy Ghost. I'm here to let you know that if you have been born again and you're living for God, you are a candidate for the Holy Ghost. And it's something that you need. It's something I need. And we can't go without it. The only thing that can keep anybody from receiving the Holy Ghost is an unclean heart. But when God comes in and washes you clean and you're living for Him, we're eligible.
Amen.
We're eligible. Amen. It's that simple. It's a gift. God says, once you've been saved, because He said, repent and be baptized, then you shall receive the gift. He said, that's moment not moment, just be born.
Right.
And you deserve a gift.
Praise God.
So we notice here that it is a gift. The next thing I want to bring out is that tongues is the evidence. It is not the purpose.
Right.
Sometimes we get it mixed up. We get it mixed up and we think, oh, I spoke in tongues. Great glory to God. And I've accomplished a great feat. And then they just go on their life because their experience was the tongues. And I know. And I like how my brother said it. He says, you can have a wall of shoes on this side. And a store, when you go to buy a pair of shoes, you don't put a wall on this side of the store. There's a shoes. And on this side of the store is all the tongues. And then you go buy your shoe. And after you buy your shoe, you come over here and pick out the tongue you want for your shoe. No, the tongue comes with the shoe. And I'm here to let you know that when the Holy Ghost overwhelms you and comes into your life and fills you, you are going to have the evidence of speaking in tongues. I had a young man a long time ago when I was young. He said, you know, you can have the Holy Ghost without speaking in tongues. Read in the book of Acts and tell me when the Holy Ghost would come by that they've never spoken tongues.
Right.
Every single time the Holy Ghost come by, it talks about cloven tongues. It talks about speaking in tongues. It talks about an utterance.
Right.
What is that? In fact, let me read them to you. It says, Acts 2, 3, and 4, it says, and there appeared unto him cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I mean, right there, Mark 16 and 17. I'm sorry, I don't have that one marked, so let me get to it. Mark 16 and 17 says this, and these signs shall follow them that believe. This is Jesus prophesying about the tongues, about the Holy Ghost. In my name shall they cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues.
Right.
It is the evidence. Some people say that the reason we receive the Holy Ghost is so that we can speak in tongues. No, that is not the purpose of the Holy Ghost. It's not just so that He can have you speak in tongues. But there is a purpose, and we'll get back to it in a little bit. But I wanted to clarify, there is a purpose, and then there is an evidence. And the speaking in tongues is the evidence to let us know, hey, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are filled with the Holy Ghost because of the tongues that is in them. But after the Holy Ghost is filled within us, then there is a purpose that follows. And we're going to get that towards the end of my message. But I want to clarify those two things. It is a gift. All you have to have is a birth and your soul and heart towards God.
Right.
And that it is the tongues is the evidence. It is not the purpose. Don't get so caught up in the speaking of tongues that that's the reason God filled you.
Right. Right. Amen.
Don't get caught up in that, church.
Right.
Let's not get caught up in the fact to where we think the reason He filled us is just so that we can speak in tongues. There's a reason. Amen. 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 So, verse 4. In our text that we read, I want to point out some things about the Holy Ghost. I want to point out three things. The first thing we see here in verse 4, the Bible says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father.
Right?
Wait for the promise of the Father. One thing about the Holy Ghost that we need to realize is that the Holy Ghost is a promise. It is something that God has promised to each and every individual. It is not something that God hopes for every Christian to have. It is not something that God, you know, would prefer that. But He said it is a promise. It's going to happen and it's going to take place. Talking to these people, talking to the disciples, He says, go tarry in Jerusalem. And in one of the Gospels, He said, go tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. It is something that God promised them. If you go and tarry, if you go and wait, it is going to happen and it will happen. Sometimes us as Christians, because it was something that, you know, maybe it didn't happen last camp meeting, or maybe it didn't happen last revival, or the last evangelist that came through, or last Sunday or Wednesday, you know, maybe it's just not for me. But I'm here to let you know here tonight, if you are a true born again Christian, it is a promise directed to you. There is no exemptions. There is nothing about the Holy Ghost that God simplified to say, no, it's just for certain people. It's just for pastors or just for those in leadership. But no, it is a promise to whoever will go and tarry. It's a promise to whoever will go and wait for that. It's a promise to those that will get in their lives and say, Lord, I want nothing more. And I don't want to focus on anything else until I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. And God says it's a promise.
Come on. You're preaching right.
Titus 1 and 2 says this, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world. I wanted to bring out that phrase, that cannot lie. God don't lie.
Right? That's true. Amen.
God don't lie.
Right.
And He said, if you wait for the promise of the Father, you'll be filled.
Amen. Amen.
We say, well, it's not for me. It's not for, no, it's for you. It's for the Christian. It's for the church. God wants all the sinners out there to be filled with the Holy Ghost. God wants anybody, your neighbors, to be filled with the Holy Ghost. But He knows that there must be a cleansing first before the Holy Ghost can come in. But it is definitely something that the church is needing today more than the church has ever needed it before. The world, the Bible talks about waxing worse and worse. option, but it should be something that's, I'm about to get ahead of myself. I better stop right there. Hebrews 6 and 18 says this, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Another emphasis is on that God does not lie. Jesus, John the Baptist said this of Jesus. Matthew 3:11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
Amen.
Amen. If you feel that the Holy Ghost is not for you, then you have a mentality that the Word of God is not altogether true. Because God wants it for every Christian.
Amen.
Everywhere.
Right.
Acts 2:33, this is it, and I'll go on to my next point. Acts 2:33 says, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. Amen, amen. He was making that statement. He says, this is what you're, because they had made the statement. They said, you know, are these drunken? Are these drunk? Peter said, these are not drunk. It's even about the third hour of the day. And then he went on to say, see all this, what's happening, what you're confused about? He says, this is the promise that God's spoken about.
Yeah.
Amen. Right. And if you're out there and you're saying, yeah, you're kind of talking to me this evening because I know I need to go further. I know God's got something great for me.
Right.
I want to challenge you. If you have a calling in your life, you need to put everything on a standstill and say, God, before I go any further, I need the Holy Ghost.
Right. Amen.
And then we're getting into my second thought. We see Acts chapter 1 and verse 4 again. We see that, and being assembled together with them, I commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise. The word wait, when he said that word wait, and he also said, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. Tarry. He put an emphasis on a priority of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Not only did he say it's a promise to you, but then he turned around and said it should be a priority to you.
Right.
Because he said, don't even leave Jerusalem. Don't even do anything. He says, in fact, when I say it, you just go somewhere and wait for the promise of the Father. He made an emphasis. Why didn't he say go and witness to everybody? Go and do as I have done, or go and be like I have been the last 3 years to you. No, he says that later on. And I don't be able to shout out the reason why he said to wait for the promise before he said to be a witness is because the Holy Ghost is something that gives us what we need to be, that witness we need to be. You want to be a witness, you want to be a singer, you want to be a musician, you want to be a deacon someday, or you want to be a leader of your home, or you want to be a witness to your neighbor. I'm here to let you know, before you're able to be anything for the work of God, you need the Holy Ghost, because God made it a priority. Jesus said, don't do anything that you see me do until you be endued with power from on high. It must be a priority in our lives. I've seen a couple young people in my own church that the Holy Ghost is preached on. Camp Meeting comes around, the Holy Ghost is preached on. Our Bible conference that we have is preached, the Holy Ghost is preached on. Preachers in our church, pastor preaches on the Holy Ghost. And they never go to the front to pray. And it bothers me. Because when I read the scriptures and see how important it is for those that believe to be filled, and how much God wants it to be in every Christian's life, I ask myself the question, how much of a Christian are they really if they know God wants it, but they don't want what God wants? And it bothers me. I'm like, well, we say I'm a Christian and I want to be like Christ, or I just want to please Him, or I just want to do whatever God wants to do. And I'm thinking, why don't you want the Holy Ghost? What it is, they haven't made it a priority. They think they can live life without the Holy Ghost. They think they can live life without the experience. But from what I see with my eyes, they are struggling in and out. They are the types that are up and down, emotionally great and emotionally down, within just a couple days. And I'm here to let you know that if you want to be able to conquer that type of a lifestyle, instead of being a roller coaster ride, but living a good, consistent life, you need the Holy Ghost, and it needs to be priority.
Amen.
There's a father in our church. He just kind of got almost aggravated in himself. Not in God, not in anybody else, but he got aggravated within himself because he'd been trying so hard to receive the Holy Ghost, and it hadn't happened for years. Camp meetings, revivals come by, church service come by. He wanted the Holy Ghost, and he never received it. Never received Him in the fullness of being baptized, speaking in other tongues as the Holy Ghost gives utterance. And so he made up in his mind, I don't remember how long it was, 6 months or whatever, 6 months, 8 months, 9 months. He made up in his mind, this next camp meeting that comes around, I'm gonna make sure this is my camp meeting that's coming around. And he dedicated in himself. You know what? I don't know how often or how long he fasted, but he says, I'm gonna fast on a regular basis from between now and camp meeting. And this was months before, 6 to 9 months before camp meeting was gonna start.
Right.
And he said, I'm going to fast and pray, and to where I can get the Holy Ghost. Months went by, probably wondering if this is even working. Probably wondering, is this even going to have an effect? Am I going to come to this camp meeting still the same? Am I going to leave still the same? Is this all for naught? Is this all just kind of whistling in the wind, so to speak? Have you ever tried whistling in the wind? It's in the wild. I've tried trying to whistle as the wind's coming. Stick your head out the window and try to whistle. It ain't going to work. That's how this man probably failed. Is it even going to affect anything? Is it even going to matter? But I'm here to let you know, after months of fasting and praying, saying, God, this next camp meeting, I want it to be my camp meeting. I want it to be a camp meeting where I feel, where I know what it is to be full of the Holy Ghost. I'm here to let you know, church, that when that camp meeting came around, that man was jumping up and down and rejoicing because the Holy Ghost came over him and filled him in a mighty way. But what was it? He said it's a priority in my life. And when the Holy Ghost can become a priority, he will know that's who I want to dwell in. But if you have the attitude, I don't have to have the Holy Ghost, you're not going to be filled. You're not going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. The reason why the Holy Ghost finally came by in that upper room is because he realized they're not leaving until I fill them. They're not going anywhere. That he realized these people want me before they knew anything else. And when we have a priority of the Holy Ghost, I want to promise you, it's going to take place. It's going to take place. Because God says, it's my promise. And when you make it your priority, my promises come true. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. My words are yea and amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Excuse me. We see that God, in verse 4, he promises the Holy Ghost. And he also made an emphasis on that it should be a priority. But I'm gonna have Brother George come up here, if you wouldn't mind getting a mic and getting ready. Brother George has got some scriptures that I want him to read. But listen to what Jesus says. Wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Then listen to this. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth.
Amen.
You shall receive power. Then he says, you shall be witnesses. Witnesses in what? What is he meaning by you shall be witnesses unto me? Now I know that the main thing, we are witnesses of his saving grace.
Right. Come on.
That is the number one priority of when he talks about witnessing. But I don't believe he was just talking about being a witness of his saving grace. I believe he was meaning, you shall be a witness of my power. You shall be a witness of my deliverance. You shall be a witness of my healing. You shall be a witness. When people see you, they will know the only reason why they can do that is because they've got Christ. I don't believe that when he said you shall be a witness of, it was just emphasizing that you can go and win somebody to the Lord. But I believe that you can be proof that I'm a God that is reigning above all. I'm God and I have final authority and I am the authority.
That's it. Right.
Oh, yeah. That's why the Bible says he is the King of Kings.
Amen.
If you look at it, it's King as in capital King and then of King, little K. He's the King.
Right.
In other words, in our term in the United States, he's the President above the Presidents.
Right.
That would be in our term. That's how we would relate it. King of Kings. Well, Obama's the President. Well, it doesn't matter. He's the President of the President. And that's what Christ said. He's the King of the Kings, and he is the Lord of the Lords. He has the final authority. Amen. But so the first thing we see, he is a promise. He should be our priority. Talk about the Holy Ghost. And the last thing I want to bring out, there's one other thing, but I'm going to skip one. I want to go to this last thought and then we're going to close. I want to let us see through scriptures the purpose of the Holy Ghost. We already said that's why I brought out at the beginning of the scriptures that tongues is the evidence. It's not the purpose.
Right.
And now, as we close this out, I want us to see through scriptures what the purpose and the reason, because we get the idea that the reason for the Holy Ghost is so we can speak in tongues. But that's not the reason. I want us to know, because as a young person, sometimes we wonder, why? What's the reason for the Holy Ghost?
Right.
If it's not to speak in tongues, then why is it, why is the purpose and why is the emphasis? For the Holy Ghost. Well, Brother George is going to help me out here, and I appreciate his help. He's going to read some scriptures, and as he reads these scriptures, we're just going to see how the Holy Ghost and what the Holy Ghost was used for in the scriptures. So go ahead, Brother. Go ahead and read your first one. And when you read it, go ahead and read the book and the chapter and verse that you're about to read.
Okay. 1 Corinthians 12 and 3. Said, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaketh in the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost.
Amen. He says, no man, as a Christ, is going to say Christ is accursed. And no man that speaketh of Christ will be able to speak of it unless he's got the Holy Ghost. So what I see in this scripture is what God is trying, what Christ is trying to say. He's trying to say that the Holy Ghost always points to Christ.
Right. Right. Amen.
The Holy Ghost in his reason, and one of the many reasons that we're going, and I'm going to give out anywhere between around 10 reasons, purposes for the Holy Ghost. And there's a whole lot more. I just covered just around 10 of them real quick. But the one of the reasons for the Holy Ghost is that everything about the Holy Ghost points back to Christ and what Christ stands for. If you, I don't care who it is, I don't care how big of a name they are, and they say they're so full of the Holy Ghost, but if they prophesy or things, or if they say things that contradict this word of God, they are not full of the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost will never differentiate from the Holy Word of God. The Holy Ghost will never contradict what God already established. Christ in His Word. The Holy Ghost always points to Christ. Always points to Christ. Amen. Go ahead, brother. Next one.
The second one is 2 Timothy 1 and 14 says, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in you, in us.
That good thing dwelleth in you, keep by the Holy Ghost. That good thing, keep by the Holy Ghost. What I read from this scripture, the Holy Ghost is going to help us to do good things.
Amen.
You have a problem doing things that are wrong, we need the Holy Ghost. You have a problem living right, we need the Holy Ghost. You can't emphasize it. And I've tried my hardest to prove a point and to emphasize the importance of the Holy Ghost in the life of a Christian. If you have struggles that you battle week in and week out, I challenge you, seek for the Holy Ghost until you're full of the Holy Ghost. And I can now guarantee you that those struggles you struggle with today will not be the same struggles that you struggle with tomorrow, because the Holy Ghost takes over and He helps you do what is good.
Right, come on.
He helps you do what's right. Let me go ahead, brother. Read the next one.
Mark 13:11 says, but when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate whatsoever shall be given you in that hour. That speak ye, for it is not that ye speak, but the Holy Ghost.
That verse.
Wow.
Have you ever had a situation where someone came to you and a door of witnessing was opened up to you? Or maybe not witnessing, maybe somebody that's already been saved, they know all about Christ, but they started asking you questions or saying this or saying that, and all of a sudden out of nowhere a scripture came to mind that perfectly fit what they were asking?
Right.
You know what that's saying? And when you're not even prepared, when you're not even ready, it says don't even worry about it, because the Holy Ghost is going to give you what you need to say. And He even went so far as, even though you're going to go speak before kings and speak before leaders, don't even worry about what you're going to say, because when you get there, the Holy Ghost is going to help you and guide you. The Holy Ghost helps you with what you need to say. You want to be a better witness? Say, well, I don't know what to say. I never know what to say. How about you get full of the Holy Ghost and just step out there and let God show you and deal with your heart on what to say.
Right.
We got to have faith. Amen. Go ahead, brother. What's the next one?
The next one is John 14 and 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Amen. I accidentally, that's a good verse, but I accidentally gave you the wrong. It's 14 and 26. I wrote that wrong. I'm sorry. John 14, 26.
But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you.
There's several things you can get in this, what the Holy Ghost is doing. But two things I want to point out. The Bible says He will teach us all things. Do you have a struggle understanding what this Word of God says? I mean, it's nothing to be ashamed of, because honestly, when you become a new Christian, sometimes there's some things in there it's hard to understand why or what for or when or, you know, what's all the reasoning for. But what the Bible is saying, through the Holy Ghost, He will help teach you the whys and what fors of why He does and says what He does.
Amen.
You want to be taught, you need the Holy Ghost. You want to understand, you need the Holy Ghost. And then I like that verse, He will bring to remembrance. Amen. Just like that scenario I just said, have you ever been witnessing, all of a sudden a scripture pops in your verse and you're like, where did that come from? Where did that come from?
Right.
I don't even remember. I haven't quoted or read that scripture in months, however long. I don't even remember that. Where'd that come from? And I remember back, maybe it was when he was in a Christian school, and I remember learning that in school.
Right.
I haven't quoted that scripture in years as far as quoting it.
Right.
Where'd that come from? He will bring to remembrance.
Right.
But the thing of it is, I like what a preacher said. If you never have anything in there to remember, He's not going to be able to bring something out of nowhere.
Right.
If you don't read the Word, and if you don't meditate on the Word and try to memorize it, there ain't nothing to bring from your memory. But He says, if you've studied the Word of God, He will bring it to your memory, what you've read and what you've studied, and out of nowhere He will help you be Peter say what needs to be said. Amen. Go ahead, brother. Next one. Just a few more.
The next one is Romans 5:5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us.
Read that one more time.
And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us.
The love of God was shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. That word love can be one of the easiest, but on the, at the same time, it can be one of the hardest things to do. It can be one of the most challenging words, but it can be one of the most easiest words, is the word love and the action of it. You have a hard time loving someone, maybe a spouse, maybe a brother or sister, maybe a family, maybe a church member, maybe your neighbor. Have a hard time loving someone the way we should, and I'm going to be closing here in just a little bit, just a couple more scriptures. But I want to tell you something. When you get full of the Holy Ghost, God says, I'll help you to love.
Amen.
Who we're supposed to love. You see the purposes of the Holy Ghost? I'm trying to bring out, there's more than just one. There's more than, it's not this purpose of speaking in tongues, but there is a purpose and a reasoning. God don't just throw things out there and say, ah, that should work. No, there's a purpose for every single thing that God has when He has us to do something. And one of the things He wants us to do is be full of the Holy Ghost. We're about to close. Go ahead, brother. Just a couple more.
Acts 4:31. It says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the words of God with boldness.
Alright. Spake the words of God. Well, I love the word of God. And when it speaks to me, it lets me, because these were fishermen. These were men that had no schooling on the word of God. They had no, I mean, they knew of scriptures, but they didn't know it in depth like priests or Sadducees or all them that had been schooled by it or others that had been. These were ignorant men, so to speak, concerning the world and their ideas of how smart you should be. These men were ignorant, but God says they were given boldness.
Right.
Preach the word again. Boldness. And I like where it talks about where, I believe it was the king at the time. He says, these men that had turned the world upside down. He'd been talking about Jared, and they were having some services in their house. He said, these men had turned the world upside down. Amen. They have boldness. Go ahead, brother. It gives you boldness.
Okay, Acts 16. I don't know how to say this word, but now when they had gone throughout,
what does it say?
India. And the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia.
The Bible says they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to go preach in a certain town because the Holy Ghost knew if they went there, they'd be stoned and killed. But my main emphasis is that the Holy Ghost forbid them to go to a place that He knew it wasn't right for them to go at the time. And if you have times in your life to where you have a hard time doing things or living a life that you shouldn't live, and it's like it's like I have no willpower. I have no willpower to do or to live the life that I know that this Bible says or the pastor preaches, and it is hard. I'm here to let you know it is possible, and it is you are able to be able to live the victorious life that we preached about earlier. But I'm here to let you know that a Christian life is limited to the things that he can or cannot do, because without the Holy Ghost, there is not that power. There is not that. There is no authority or the boldness or in this situation, the Holy Ghost helps us and forbids us to do things we shouldn't do.
Amen.
Amen. The Holy Ghost isn't just for speaking in tongues. It is to help us in every area of our life. Amen. One more, and then I'm going to read one at the last, and we're going to close. Go ahead, brother.
It is 1 Corinthians 6:9. Know ye not that the uprighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind.
Amen. These are things not going to experience, that's not going to be experience the kingdom of God. He said, the sinners, they're not. But also, those are what makes us unclean. Those are what makes us to the point to where we cannot experience. You say, well, I said earlier, an unclean heart. The Bible says we are a body, we are a temple of the Holy Ghost. Our body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. But it will not dwell, the Holy Ghost will not dwell in an unclean vessel. And those are the things that are unclean. We cannot go to heaven with those things. And that means we are not saved. And without being saved, we cannot receive the power of the Holy Ghost. But with us being saved, we are cleansed from all those things. And we have the possibility of receiving the Holy Ghost, because God cleanses us from all unrighteousness.
Right, come on.
Amen. Amen. Do we want the Holy Ghost? Is it a priority?
Yes.
Is it something that we need? Amen. Sister Katrina, would you come on up here and help us out? Amen. We're going to close this out. I got one more scripture and then I'm going to close. Listen to this scripture. This is one of my most favorite scriptures in the Bible, because when I read this scripture, I see the potential that the church has right at their fingertips, if we can just understand what power we have in the Holy Ghost. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, it reads this. Now unto him that is, talking about God, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above that which we ask or think. Amen. We can stop right there and shout a little while. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding above that which we ask or think. And the Bible goes on to finish, according to the power that worketh in us.
Right, come on.
Amen. The power that Jesus made in that text that we read. And you shall be doing power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You say, well, hey, I've got imaginations, or I've got things that I'm thinking of. Lord, I would love to see my son saved, or my family saved, or my father saved. Or I've got a healing that I would like to see done. I'd like to see miracles performed in the church. I'd like to see the church grow with the believers coming to Christ. I'd like to see a great move of God and a revival strike this town. I'm here to let you know, knowing the kingdom that is able to do exceeding abundantly above which we ask or think, according to the power, according to the Holy Ghost that is within us. I'm telling you, there's so much at the tip of the fingers of the church. The church has so much that we can possibly see. So many miracles, so many lives saved, so many revivals that we can see break out. But God is saying, you need the Holy Ghost. You need the power to see all this happen. Amen. It's the Holy Ghost that does what we need, that needs to be done for the church. I'm here to let you know, it's not in me to heal a person, but it's the Holy Ghost that's in me why a person can be healed.
Right.
I'm telling you what, I cannot heal one person.
Right.
I cannot save one person. I cannot do anything. But God said, according to the power that's in you, you can see these things come to pass.
Right.
Amen. The Holy Ghost. Do we see how important the Holy Ghost is? I've already received the Holy Ghost in my life. I'm here to let you know. Let it fill you up again. Let it fill you up again. Don't let it be. Read the book of Acts. I challenge you this week. Read the whole book of Acts and just let you, and realize and see the significance of those people. The same were there, didn't hear from room. How many times they went back to another room to pray until the Holy Ghost came by. They knew we can't go without the Holy Ghost. We can't see a move without the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. We're going to make an altar call, but I'm here to challenge the church. Church, get full of the Holy Ghost. I'm here to challenge you individuals. Get full of the Holy Ghost. You want your home to start working right? You need the Holy Ghost. You want your family to start working right? You need the Holy Ghost. You want God to fill you with the ministry? You need the Holy Ghost. Brother James Snow preached a message I'll never forget. Brother James Snow preached a message. He preached on the thought, you don't need to know, you just need the Holy Ghost.
A lot of times we go to God saying, God, I need help with this answer. I need help with this dilemma. I need an answer from God. I need direction. I need guidance. And what Brother Snow was trying to emphasize, he was preaching at a Bible college when he preached it. And he looked at those students. He said, now this is pretty bold, preaching at a Bible conference at decision days. He made this statement, you don't need to know if you're going to come back to school next semester. At a Bible college called Decision Days, trying to get young people to be influenced, trying to help them understand the good use of a Bible college. And he says, you don't need to know if you need to come to Bible college next year. He said, what you need is the Holy Ghost. And if you're supposed to be here next year, the Holy Ghost will let you know.
Right, come on.
And that just stirred something inside of me to let me know when crisis come my way, when decisions come my way, I don't need to know the answer. I need the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost will lead me into all truth. Amen, amen, amen. We're going to make a general altar call. Let's just come as a church. Let's come down and say, God, if I'm not ready for the Holy Ghost and I need to be cleansed, Lord, cleanse me. And then right after that, let it know, God, give me that promise. Lord, I'm making it a priority from this day forward. I want the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's all come and pray. Hallelujah.